Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
US VP J.D. Vance has landed in Greenland at a time when President Donald Trump is renewing his insistence that America should take control of the semi-autonomous Danish territory. This trip scaled back, of course, after a row with the governments of Greenland and Denmark over a lack of invitation. Meanwhile, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, who's on this visit to Greenland, and Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth have both so far survived the disclosure that they ran a high-level meeting on a military operation via a non-government app and inadvertently included a journalist. It's been making headlines, as you know, all over the world, and certainly in America it's rumbling on. I'm joined by former US National Security Advisor John Bolton for his view. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Well, thanks for having me.
Can I ask you about this Greenland visit, which is making waves as we speak? Apparently, J.D. Vance has told people gathered to welcome him, "Apparently, I'm the first vice president to ever visit Greenland," he said. I don't think he'll get much of a welcome there, though.
Well, it depends on what he says, and there's a lot of concern because of reports he's going to basically attack Denmark for its performance in governing Greenland for the last period of time. Greenland is of extraordinary strategic importance to the United States, really to the whole NATO alliance. And Donald Trump's interest in Greenland is not the first time that this has been a subject of interest to the United States. In fact, it goes back to 1868 when William Seward, fresh off of buying Alaska from Russia, first tried to buy Greenland from Denmark in 1868 unsuccessfully. A long history after that through World War II and right up until the present. The point is that there are ways to try and vindicate U.S. interests and the interest of Canada, Denmark, and everybody else in NATO without slapping our allies around in public and without necessarily claiming sovereignty. Trump has chosen not to do that, and he's having significant negative effects on the U.S. and its NATO allies.
Yeah, he certainly is. There's no question about it, as you say. He hasn't spoken in any substantial way yet, the VP, but when he does, we'll certainly bring it to you. Can I ask about the security breach in the last week or so by the Trump administration, the Signal chat, and including a journalist, Jeffrey Goldstein? Were you watching agog? Were you as stunned as the rest of us, John?
Well, I was completely wordless when I first heard about it, which most people would tell you is fairly unusual for me. It just never would have occurred to me when I was in the government not to use the classified government telecommunication system, which the U.S. has spent billions of dollars over decades trying to make completely secure. You know, you don't know in a conversation how far you may range from very sensitive subjects to talking about the morning newspaper. When you're on the secure government system, there's no worry. It doesn't matter. You're protected. By going out to a commercial app, whether it's encrypted in transmission or not, you're exposing what you're saying to risk that your computer or your cell phone have been hacked, that a foreign adversary has decrypted the Signal encryption algorithm, and that information could fall into the hands of an adversary. In this case, since much of the conversation was about a U.S. strike against the Houthis before it took place, had an adversary picked that up in real time, it could have put U.S. pilots in danger and could have allowed the Houthis to escape the brunt of the attack. I mean, there's a lot at stake here. The other thing we don't know is this the first time they did that, or have they been doing it for the last 2 months? And if it's the latter, it could well mean that substantial additional amounts of very sensitive information.
Well, it's most likely. It's most likely the latter, isn't that right, Bim? Why would you start on Signal when you're about to launch a military operation? Donald Trump described it as a glitch, and not a very important one as well. How would you react to that then?
Well, I think he was talking about the glitch of including the editor of the Atlantic magazine, and that does qualify as a glitch. One thing about the secure government system is it only works on government telephones, which are either on your desk in your office or in a car where you're driving with, in my case, when I was there, Secret Service protection, or on a military aircraft. All of the people on that chain had ready access to secure telecommunications, and there's simply no excuse, convenience, or anything else to use an alternative alternative system. That's what's so inexplicable about this. Mm-hmm.
There's a furore, of course, obviously in the US about this. Do you think Walz or Hegseth are in jeopardy in any way?
Well, I don't think Trump will fire them soon because it would look like he was giving in to pressure. But I think this can't be making him happy. It's one reason he's actually been, Trump has been fairly careful in distancing himself from it. So I wouldn't be surprised if in 2 or 3 months, one or both of them suddenly find more opportunities to spend more time with their family.
That's one way of putting it. Can I ask you about the negotiations with Vladimir Putin to find a way to get a ceasefire and a peace in Ukraine? Apparently now Vladimir Putin is making, we know he's making preconditions for a ceasefire. He's also suggested that a UN-led government govern in Ukraine. I mean, all these preconditions, how realistic is he about peace, do you think?
Well, I think he's trying to drag this out as long as he can because he believes the events on the battlefield are moving in his direction. But he knows he needs to be careful. Trump has given him a substantial number of concessions. Ukraine not regaining full sovereignty and territorial integrity, no NATO membership, no NATO security guarantees. Putin doesn't want to endanger Trump taking them back. So he can play this along for a while. But if Trump begins to get impatient, and there are some signs of that, Putin's going to have to move along too. But to be clear, Putin has the upper hand here. He thinks Trump is an easy mark. Being a former KGB agent, he knows how to manipulate Trump, and he's been doing it really successfully, unfortunately, for the past month.
Mm-hmm. They'll all be watching the European effort, the EU efforts, to and the coalition of the willing to up spending on defence and create this reassurance force in the event of a deal or a compromise with Putin. But Vladimir Putin has warned against European soldiers on Ukraine soil. How would you read all of that, John?
Well, I think a part of the European effort here on the peacekeeping force remains unclear. What's the mission of the peacekeeping force? To prevent violations of the ceasefire? Are they prepared to use force against a party violating the ceasefire, i.e. Russia? Or do they conceive the mission to be more like a UN peacekeeping force, where Irish troops have frequently participated, where there's no use of force by the peacekeepers other than in self-defense? They watch the violations and report them back to UN headquarters. Huge differences between those two kinds of forces.
And what if I were to say to you that it's primarily...
No clarity.
Sorry to jump in. What if I were to say to you that it's primarily peacekeeping, but to build up a capability in a force that would be a deterrence to Putin?
Well, there have been a lot of efforts at deterring Putin on this that have failed so far. I think it's I think the preferred outcome here is to find a way to get Trump back into line with the other NATO allies. It was a Soviet goal during the Cold War to break the Atlantic Alliance, and they failed. And that's one reason why they lost the Cold War. But right now, we're on the verge of doing it to ourselves.
Can I ask you finally about Gaza? And we know that the Israeli military have restarted ground operations and airstrikes continue. And we've heard from aid agencies and U.S. doctors volunteering in Gaza in this program about mounting civilian casualties, body parts coming into hospitals, dead babies, and I'm sorry for shocking some listeners. Shouldn't the US and the White House use its influence at this point to stop military operations in Gaza, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's ever going to be peace in Gaza until Hamas is destroyed. And the best news I've seen really since October the 7th are reports over the past several days of residents of Gaza demonstrating against Hamas. That cancer has to be broken. To free the Gazans from the grip of Hamas is the absolute precondition to bettering their condition, simply from a humanitarian point of view.
And the mounting civilian casualties, the innocents, that's just collateral damage.
Well, those are the reports by Hamas and Hamas agencies, and there have been a number of studies by our military people at West Point, that say the casualties are vastly inflated. And the question is, you can be a civilian and be a terrorist too.
Well, that doesn't chime with what the UN are saying, or aid agencies, or US doctors and others on this program and elsewhere. But be that as it may, John Bolton, former US National Security Advisor, thank you very much indeed. We'll go back to Greenland now and coverage of it. That visit by US Vice President J.D. Vance. I'm joined by Amber Phillips of the Washington Post. He's spoken in the last few minutes, Amber.
Yeah. The vice president said, hey, as he was visiting a military base there, U.S. military base, the president is really interested in Arctic security. As you all know, it's only going to get bigger over the coming decades, is what he said, according to reporters there. And Vance said, and I think this is correct, no reasonably otherwise, he's the first U.S. vice president to visit Greenland.
Yeah. And we spoke, as you heard, with John Bolton there. And I said, based on that he's apparently the first VP to visit Greenland, I said he's hardly likely to get a welcome. But that depends on what he says John Bolton. Yeah, by what you're telling us, he hasn't said very much.
No, he hasn't said very much. I think it's the absence of what he said that's important, right? Is he didn't say, hey, we come in peace. We just want to work with you guys. He knows full well that he's coming to a situation where he's viewed as hostile. And I don't see anything in those comments to assuage concerns in Greenland.
Well, I think you're right. Let's have a listen to just a taste of what he said in the last few moments.
If a missile was fired from an enemy country or an enemy submarine into the United States, it is the people here before us who would give notice to our brave men and women further south in the United States to let people know what was coming and, God willing, to try to shoot it down and prepare for it. That's one of the things that we do at installations like this. We know that Russia and China and other nations are taking an extraordinary interest in Arctic passageways and Arctic naval routes, and indeed in the minerals of the Arctic territories. We need to ensure that America is leading in the Arctic, because we know that if America doesn't, other nations will fill the gap where we fall behind.
He's using the same type of argument, Amber, that he used in Ukraine. If we get a stake in these minerals, we have a need to have your back, essentially.
Yes, you're exactly right. I think minerals, when I talk to foreign policy experts here in the United States, they notice a trend, minerals and economic control, when President Trump talks about expansionism. And trying to get peace in Ukraine and get a stake in U.S. businesses there to getting Greenland, quote, one way or another, as the president said, even the Panama Canal, with that economic security. It's just something that the president says is his focus. That doesn't explain why the president would want Canada.
Yeah.
That's perplexing to experts I talked to as well.
It's likening it to having the bully have your back so the other bully won't pick on you in the schoolyard. That's what some people describe it as. Look, thank you for bringing us up to date on J.D. Vance's comments in Greenland. Amber Phillips of the Washington Post, Mila Buchas.